following broadcast comes out of Canaan Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. Our address is 3125 Antioch Campground Road, Gainesville, Georgia, 30506. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday school starting at 10 a.m. Normal Sunday morning service starts at 11. We have evening service starts at 6. On Tuesdays, we have a food bank from 4 to 7. Wednesdays, we have a discovery program starts at 6:30. We meet in the fellowship hall and eat, and then the service starts at 7 o'clock. And Fridays, we have an RU program, Reformers Unanimous, drug and alcohol addiction program. Come be with us. Thank you.
Training them right. But we've gotten to the point now in society where they've got to put baby monitors on infants whenever they're born in the hospital. But because of the fear of some person going in and stealing that baby. Brother Travis, a lot of time it's somebody that's lost a child, it's somebody that's so messed up in the head, all they want is a child. They're following their heart. But in the process, they destroy the lives of another family. But they're following their heart. Feet that are swift to mischief. You know what? I've got a problem with somebody that calls themselves a Christian that every time you turn around, they're looking for an excuse to not be at church. They're looking for an excuse to be down at the bar. They're looking for an excuse to be down somewhere they're not supposed to be. They're looking for, oh, we just come through homecoming season and prom season will be in the spring. Oh, they're looking for an excuse to go to the dances and to rub their bodies up against their boyfriend or their girlfriend and awake emotions inside of themselves that they have no business even knowing exists. Oh, but it, you know, that's a rite of passage, right? Oh, the little girls, they want to dress up for prom. They want to dress up for homecoming. They want to look pretty. They want to put on slutty clothing. They want to put on skirts hiked up to their hind ends and cleavage down to their belly button. And they want to go out of the house like that. Hey, I got news for you, Daddy. You ought to be shot and stretched out on a torture rack for letting your daughter out of the house like that. If you got a problem with that, honey, hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and just make some people mad right here. If you're going to let your daughter go out of the house dressed like a whore, you're either scared of your wife or you're a pervert and you like it.
You're right.
Woo!
You're running well.
And a false witness, that ties back to that lying tongue. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know what I see in those last two, Brother Cody? I see a wolf. I see a wolf. So quick to run around and run their mouth about somebody. So quick to make up somebody, something about somebody and make themselves look good. And then they're so quick to stir up problems. Well, preacher, I think you ought to do something about this family. Their child messed up. You ought to do something to this family. Shut your mouth.
Amen.
It makes me sick, Brother Travis. As I've sat up here and I've done the security for the preacher, I've been his personal bodyguard, so to speak, for lack of a better term. But it makes me sick whenever I see people that look for an excuse to go to the preacher and complain about somebody else. Makes me sick. It really bothers me, Brother Cody, whenever that person they're complaining about is one of my teenagers in my class. Now, I'm going to make some statements about my teenagers. They're not perfect. Whoopee! They're not perfect. They mess up. Whoopee! They sin. Whoopee! So does your brat. So quick to sow discord among the brethren. And these are abominations. And I know, Brother Travis, I know that we went from sodomite. You asked, how did we get from a sodomite to talking about a bunch of gossiping women in a church? Well, the Bible called that an abomination. Yea, seven are an abomination. Now, Brother Cody, you know what that tells me? If God will call the sin of sodomy an abomination, and he's calling sowing discord among the brethren and gossiping an abomination, what does that tell you about your gossiping? Oh, preacher, you know, we're just a little old lady group and we like to get together and, you know, we might gossip every now and then, but we'll repent of it on Sunday, we promise. But, you know, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't cuss, we don't commit adultery. But we like to get on the phone after service, and can you believe the preacher preached on that? I mean, what right does he have calling out my kid's sin like that? I'm the kid's mama. Let me deal with that at home. What does the preacher think he's doing talking about people committing adultery? Man, there's children in the congregation. They don't need to be hearing about that stuff. Preaching against sodomites or preaching against the fornication. There's little kids that don't need to be hearing that. The church ain't no place for preaching. I'm sorry, but the Bible said in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud and spare not. The problem is in today's independent Baptist churches, we've got a whole lot of crying aloud, but not a lot of sparing not. We got a lot of people that are bellowing. I just love to listen to my voice in a business meeting, or I just love to bellow out my voice behind the pulpit and make myself sound loud, but I'm not going to call out sin. It's an abomination. Your gossiping, flapping tongue. And look, I've made this statement before on the radio, and I'm going to make it again. If it hair lips the devil, oh well. But I know what time this audio is going to be played. It's going to be played in the 10 o'clock to 10:30 time frame. What happens at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Sunday school. Now, I know a lot of you listening, by the way, to the radio are on your way to church this morning. But why can't you blow your stinking hide up out of bed on a Sunday morning early enough to get to Sunday school? I wonder if it is that you just don't like what the Sunday school teacher's saying. I wonder if it is that you just don't like that the pastor appointed your Sunday school teacher and your Sunday school class didn't get to vote in some wolf that you wanted. I wonder if it is that you just got a problem with that archaic King James Bible and you just can't understand the terminology and you can't understand the words. And oh, preacher, you just don't understand. It's so hard to read. Why don't you suck it up, get out of bed, and get to Sunday school in the Sunday mornings? You think I got a problem with whether or not you listen to me? It don't matter. You ought to be in Sunday school if you're able to go. Now, I realize that a radio station, Brother Travis, wants listeners. That's how they make their money. They want a lot of traffic in people listening. But let me explain to you the purpose of this ministry at Canaan Baptist Church, just in case you didn't know. The reason why we preach on the radio is to be a blessing to people that are shut-ins that cannot get out. People that are in a hospital bed dying of cancer, Brother Cody, that would love to be in church, but they can't. But you got a bunch of lazy, egg-sucking liars that are waking up an hour late, but so they can miss Sunday school and say, oh, well, I'll just eat a little bit of breakfast. I'll sit here a little longer. I may watch some TV. I may go to the sports channel and see what the Falcons are supposed to, who the Falcons are supposed to play today. Guess what? I don't give a rip who the Falcons are supposed to play. Your hind end ought to be in Sunday school. And so should your stinking brat in the back seat. Boy, we're having fun now, ain't we? But one thing that I see in today's society is everybody's wanting unity. And I think they mean well, Brother Travis. They want to bring the country together. We see that the country's so divided. Man, people either in love with Trump or they hate Trump. Oh, he's the greatest president ever. No, let's impeach him. There's such a divide. The blacks are mad at the whites. The whites are mad at the blacks. The Mexicans are mad at everybody because we don't want to give them free health care anymore. I know some of you on the radio don't like this, but guess what? Shut up and quit trying to turn a dial, you old hag. That's what's wrong with you in the first place. You, every time somebody gets to preaching hard and preaching on something that you don't necessarily like, even though it's in the Bible, you don't like it and you can't stand it. Why don't you sit back and listen to preaching? It might do you a little bit of good if you start applying it to your life. Amen. Instead of getting mad and wanting to have the preacher for dinner, why don't you get yourself right with the Word of God? If that man of God is in the Bible, Brother Cody, we ought to back him. Yes, If the preacher comes in Sunday morning and says, okay, we're going to have conference this morning, I'm going to make a move that we paint the walls yellow with black polka dots. I don't understand that. That kind of looks silly to me. But I can't find Bible against yellow walls with black polka dots. What you ought to do, you fork-tongued Jezebel, is instead of talking about the man of God, your husband ought to tell you to shut up and sit back, and he ought to stand up and volunteer, preacher, I'll buy the rollers, I'll buy the brushes, and I'll buy the paint. Man, these people that are so scared to do that to their wife, I'm not talking about being hateful to their woman. I'm not talking about being hateful to their wife and lording over her. But the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Not wives, sit back and run your mouth about your husband and talk about what a sorry dog he is. Brother Travis, I've got two secretaries at my office. It ticks me off royally. I can't stand it. Because in my work capacity, I'm not allowed to just go off the handle like I'd like to. Two women that are supposed to be preacher's wives, one of them has no problem with cussing. They're both a bunch of tongue-flapping gossipers. And they'll sit there and talk about how sorry their husbands are to each other. I tell you what God ought to do. If I was God, oh man. God, you understand. I'm glad you got a sense of humor here. If I was God, I'd zap them. Psst. Dead. Gone. You want to run your mouth about your husband instead of submitting to him and backing him whenever he's backing the man of God? Brother Cody, I tell you what one of the hardest things was I've ever done in church. One of the hardest things I've ever done in church, Brother Travis, was stand up whenever something went on in my family's life and my wife's life and the church had to deal with her about it, to stand up and say, preacher, I support what you're doing. But you know what happened? It wasn't too long after that my wife got right with God and things started turning around in our life, Brother Cody. She got right with God. She admitted that she had done something she shouldn't have done or said something that she shouldn't have said, and things started turning around in our life. It works. It works. Instead of fussing at the preacher for preaching to your brat, why don't you stand up and say, amen, preacher, plow, preacher, preach on my kid fornicating like a dog. Preach on my kid out drinking and partying every Saturday night and being a hypocrite coming in here shedding a few holy tears. Why don't you preach to my children? Why don't you preach to my family? Hallelujah, I'm glad I got a man of God that'll rear back and preach to my family. But we've united, and not only as a nation, but as a world, a world view, people are trying to unite and trying to get God out of everybody's life, trying to denormalize God. Bill Nye, a fake scientist, a failed teacher, and a flop of a drug dealer, was trying to convince people that it was dangerous to have a view of the world that it is 6,000 years old and have a view of creation versus evolution. Trying to convince people it was dangerous. What's so dangerous about it? What's so dangerous about believing the Bible? You know what I don't see, Brother Travis? I don't see people that take the Word of God literally and rightly dividing the Word of truth, strapping a belt bomb around their waist and blowing 49 people to hell. I don't see that. I don't see people that take the Word of God literally and rightly divide the Word of truth, having a commune and having babies with babies, being a dictator over 40-something women and having babies with them and then having babies with their own babies. It's real. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. But it's dangerous for people to have a biblical worldview. We want to unify. We want to unify everybody into this carnal view of how you know, somewhere in the universe, this little speck of dust exploded. And then all of a sudden, the sun was formed, and the planets was formed, and the galaxies were formed. The universe was formed from a little speck of dust. And then somewhere in the middle of that whole chaotic event, the earth just happened to be put into the right axis, happened to be put the right distance from the sun so that we didn't freeze to death and so we didn't burn up. And then somewhere on the earth, there was some primordial ooze, and it globbed up out of the ocean, grew an arm, and started looking for a McDonald's. And then all of a sudden it found a McDonald's, and it ordered a Happy Meal, and became a monkey, and started swinging from the tree. Then when it got sick of McDonald's, it went and found a Burger King, and stood upright, lost its little tail, and started carrying on a conversation. What? You think about how stupid that sounds. But you think that I'm an idiot and I'm a hick because I believe the Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 24. Let me talk a little bit about the day we live in. And I know, Brother Travis, this is going long. This might wind up being another situation where you got to split it up. Matthew 24, verse number 37. We talked about in Genesis chapter number 6 the state of the world right before Noah built the ark. Verse number 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other one left." This is the days which we live in. Brother Cody, this is the days in which we live, because just as it was in the days of Noah, they're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Sounds like they're just carrying on their life without a care, right? That's the way we go about our life. We go about our life with no care in the world. Oh, it's nothing to me. It's nothing to me, preacher, if somebody wants to go out and be a sodomite. It's nothing to me, preacher, if somebody wants to go over there in the Middle East and put on a belt bomb and blow 49 people to hell. It's nothing to me, preacher, if somebody gets pregnant out of wedlock. It's none of my business. I go back to what Isaiah 58:1 said, "Cry aloud and spare what? Not." That means leave nothing out. If the Bible's against it, you ought to be against it. A Christian has no business, I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, a Christian has no business voting for a Democrat. It ought not even be something you should pray about. Whenever they support infanticide, when they support all the way up to the very minute that the child is born, Brother Travis, they support the mother's so-called right to say, "You know what, I know that I gave birth to the child. I know it's out of my birth canal. Go ahead and snip its spinal cord. I don't want the brat." If you didn't want it, you shouldn't have laid there. The day in which we live in, nobody cares what's going on. Nobody's worried one bit about whether or not God's coming back today. Nobody's worried one bit if what's going to happen when the rapture happens. But let me tell you what God did in Noah's day. God destroyed the earth not because of what they were doing, Brother Travis, but because of their evil imagination. But today, Brother Mike, it's beyond imagination. Now people are acting out on those imaginations. They're acting out on the thoughts that are in their mind. What would cause a man to wreck his marriage by trying to pattern the bedroom after a porno flick? You go into Leviticus, chapter number 18, you can read everything that people have a problem with whenever they start viewing pornography. Oh, preacher, now you're treading on thin ice. Now you're really making us mad because I don't want little Johnny listening to this. Well, guess what, honey? Your 8 or 9 year old little brat in the back seat probably knows more about pornography than you ever dreamed of. So why don't you just start getting out a pen and a pad of paper and taking notes, because you might want to know what to look out for and protect your child from something that could destroy his life. It ain't no joke, Brother Cody. It ain't nothing to play with. It's more than just watching dirty movies and looking at dirty pictures. There's perverts out there that'll use that as an avenue to get your child on their Snapchat, on their Facebook page. You're an idiot if you let your child have a Snapchat or a Facebook page. You're an idiot if you let them have their cell phone or a computer in their bedroom at night with the door shut and you in the bed. You got no clue. You've got no clue the amount of predators that are out there circling like sharks after bloody water, waiting to devour your child. I told the kids this in Wednesday night class on Wednesday night, Brother Travis. I brought up some things. I brought up some facts about people like Jeffrey Dahmer. People think, oh, well, it's just natural. Little Johnny's going to get caught with a magazine and a dip can under his bed. That's just normal. But did you know Jeffrey Dahmer? Anybody that's old enough to remember Jeffrey Dahmer, you know what he did. I don't have to go into too much gruesome detail, but you know what the man did. You know where he got his start? Looking at his mama's underwear catalogs. That's what warped his mind. Ted Bundy, the things that Ted Bundy did, it all started with softcore pornography. Oh, but it's normal for little Johnny to do that. Yeah, you're an idiot. You have lost your ever-loving mind, Mama. God destroyed the earth then because of their imagination. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached righteousness while he was building that ark. Nobody believed until the rain fell. See, up until that time in human history, it had never rained. Rain, what's rain? What are you talking about? Water falling from the sky. Noah, you've lost your mind. You're crazy. You're building this big old boat out here in the middle of the desert. What are you thinking? Till the rain fell. You'll sit back and you'll talk about the preacher in front of your kids, and you'll devour what the preacher says, and you'll talk bad about him and his kids and his wife. Who does he think he is? That preacher's kids ain't perfect. He just thinks that they hung the moon, and his kids are just as wicked as mine are. Who does he think he is preaching the way that he does? You keep talking about the preacher in front of your kids, and whenever all hell starts to fall around them, it'll be too late. Society has grown blind to God. Grown blind to Him. It does not bother a man now to commit adultery on his wife. As a matter of fact, it's expected in this society. It doesn't bother people whenever children get messed up on drugs. Now it's expected. It doesn't bother them anymore. We've gone blind to what God's judgment can bring. We see that demonic possession's at an all-time high. Brother Cody, we see how the world just seems like it's falling apart all around us. Years ago, they used to talk about how dogs would have fits. They'd just go crazy. Brother Sammy Allen, a great man of God, always used to talk about it. Brother Phil Kidd mentioned in one of his messages one time how dogs used to always have fits. They just run around in circles, go nuts, and break their chain, and they'd be gone. But you don't see that anymore. I wonder why that is. Could it be there's too many people available that have made themselves available for the demons to possess? These TV shows, hauntings in Georgia, hauntings in New Hampshire, hauntings in New Orleans. And people think it's all fake and it's all Hollywood. But there's usually always a common factor with those things, Brother Travis. You watch and you start watching some of these shows, and somebody in that household's they're dabbling around with something that's occultic. People think of Ouija boards as all fun and games. They think that it's just kids goofing off and lighting candles and painting pentagrams. They're just being kids. They're just goofing off. They're doing something they think is funny. It's funny until you start seeing the demonic forces manifest themselves in your home. It's real, Brother Cody.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's real.
Oh, yes.
Watch some piece of furniture fly across the room while your child is playing with their pentagrams and playing with their little seances and playing with, you watch something like that happen. Sense an evil demonic presence around you, and it just seems like there's such a spirit of oppression on you, and you just want to blow your brains out because you're so depressed. It's real. Brother Cody, I'm sitting here, I'm living proof this happened. This is 100% true. I can verify it. I can take you to the people that were there that night to corroborate my story. But there was a night, Brother Travis, whenever I was a teenager, and my dad and one of his friends wanted to go around to different churches and wanted to go pray. There was a church that always left their doors unlocked. Always. Matter of fact, to this day, you can still go in that church with nobody there because it's their policy they don't lock the doors. Admirable. Kind of stupid in today's society, but it's admirable. We found ourselves there, Brother Cody, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'd fallen asleep in the car. I was about 13, 14 years old. I'd fallen asleep in the car. And Dad went in and he started praying, and his friend was there and he was praying with him. Well, Dad was continuing on to pray. And the man that was with us, Brother Travis, he said that all of a sudden he watched the back door open and shut. And nobody came through it. Now, unbeknownst to them, I was still asleep in the car. And about that same time, I was in the car and I had something. It was just like a presence of something. I didn't know what it was. But it was like somebody was this close to about 3 inches from my face, staring me in the face. So close that it was like I could feel their breath. And I'm like, I need to get out of this car. Normal reaction, right? I go to the door, and I go and I open the door. And I walk in. And if a gun would have went off, it would have probably given the man that was with us a heart attack. He was white as a ghost. He began to tell me that two or three minutes before I came in, what had happened, how the door opened and it shut and it was locked. He went back and he jiggled the door and the door was locked. Now I wonder what that was. I'll tell you exactly what that was. That was a demon out of hell. You won't convince me of any other way. But at 13, 14 years old, Brother Cody, I knew one thing. I knew that I was born again, and I knew there was no way that devil could possess me. But now a devil can influence you if you're saved. He can't possess you. He cannot possess what ain't his. But he sure can influence you. But you know, we think it's all cute and fun and games when we let our children listen to worldly music. We let our children play these games. We let our children watch these shows on TV. And we think it's all fun. You keep on letting them play with the devil's crowd, honey. You keep on letting them play and see if you don't have a spirit of oppression in your home. Not one time can you show me a family that has ever happened in their home, Brother Cody, that they wouldn't tell you that the oppression rubbed off on the mama and the daddy. Satan hates everything that is of God. He hates God's people. He hates the ordained things of God. And if Satan can get into a home through the music you let your child listen to, and the spirit of oppression get in your home and cause trouble between you and your wife, and he can bust that marriage up, he just slapped God in the face because God ordained marriage. It's getting where the rubber meets the road now.